You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman, and welcome to Waiver Wire Tuesday. Pumped to be here with you, pumped to get excited, get into it, try to figure out how much to spend. Listen, I'm going to do this live. I got teams. As you guys tell me to put in bids, that is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to make my mark, improve that bench, improve that lineup, and get ready for week number two. Corey Parson, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Greg. How you doing this morning?
Doing well. How's it going?
I'm not the best right now. My throat is bothering me. I'm not at 100% for the job that I'm required to do this morning. I'm doing the best I can. I'm not going to go Danny Woodhead on y'all and call for the cart. I'm not going to do that. I'm struggling this morning. You know what I'm saying? I'm struggling with my voice. I'm struggling with my vocal cord. My throat is killing me, Scott. You feel what I'm saying? And I'm just here. Week two, waiver wire for you people out there. You know what I'm saying? And got to get your fantasy. You lost David Johnson. I'm here for y'all, but I'm struggling this morning, Scott. I'm struggling. I put my life into this, Scott.
We do. We do, Corey. You'll be all right. And, you know, very interesting game set of games last night on Monday Night Football. We saw, much to the credit of Matt Modica over here, was Stephon Diggs and show, and then the Adam Thielen show as well. And, with the Chargers, you thought they were down, and then you got a nice night from Phillip Rivers in the end.
Matt Modica, good morning, sir.
It's a great morning. It's not a good morning. Sitting atop the online championship, number one out of 2,500 for the six teams. I'll take that after week one. Long season. Look, everything worked out great for Minnesota. It was a perfect storm, a great matchup. Yes, the Saints defense. I know people are going to say that. The haters will come out and, you know, try and debunk anything that's possible. But, look, there's a lot to like in this Vikings offense, from Cook to Rudolph to Diggs to Thielen. So, Sam Bradford shined.
Yeah, Sam Bradford was just tremendous last night, throwing for almost 350 yards, three touchdowns. It's a brilliant game from him. You're happy to see that. The Minnesota defense was dominant. Dalvin Cook had a really nice debut for the Saints. You know, it wasn't the offensive explosion you'd hope for, but it should be a fun shootout between New England and New Orleans coming up this Sunday. The other game last night, late game, was the Los Angeles Chargers, taking on the Denver Broncos, and Keenan Allen didn't get hurt, so that was awesome, and he scored a touchdown. Yeah. My man, felt good about that.
What an ending. I didn't stay up to the ending. I stayed up very late last night, probably till almost 1, but I did miss that ending.
Yeah, I missed the ending too. I watched extensive highlights of it this morning, so I was able to see it. Excuse me?
I want to laugh, but it hurts.
All right.
Know what I'm laughing about? Corey losing to me 141-116. That's a good laugh. Maybe that's why he can't talk this morning. Maybe that's why he feels so sick and out of it.
We're going to come back. I want to mention one more point when it comes to last night's games. Get into this David Johnson and try to figure out how we replace him. That comes your way next here on the Rodo Experts in the Morning.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
That we haven't spoken about yet in regards to the Chargers. What about your other tight end, Matt Modica? You know, you had all the Hughes, Austin Hooper love yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no Hunter Henry love to be found, as Hunter Henry was not even targeted in last night's game. He, I believe, according to Nathan Janke, he was outsnapped by Antonio Gates 38-23 last night.
And I believe he had 2.1 less points than Eric Ebron. That you know, everybody and everybody was all
My throat is hurting, Matt. But come on,
hurting, but Eric Ebron is gonna be a star.
I'm still gonna ride Eric Ebron. Is also coming. Eric Ebron was hurt. Hunter Henry was healthy.
2.1 versus zero
versus donut. It's 2.1 is more, but Matt. Ebron was hurt coming into the game, so and then he was going
but
against
he was,
that
he
was going against that Arizona Cardinal. They don't allow the tight end.
He just scored touchdowns.
That's a wide receiver. It's different. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay.
But the Hunter Henry, Eric Ebron thing. We will monitor that all season long.
And Eric Ebron, Broncos don't have one of the best. Even though Hunter Henry did go off against them last year,
But
they don't have one of the best defenses in the NFL.
You avoid their corners.
No, but I'm just making the point. You're making points. Yeah. You're making excuses for Ebron. Eric Ebron was a top five tight end. Where was Eric Ebron in the fantasy execs rankings?
He was in the top five.
Okay.
Right, so was he five,
I didn't
five
have Hunter
or
Henry
six.
In the top five.
But Hunter Henry.
Tyler Eifert was like 40th, I think. But
I mean, Tyler Eifert had 1.4 week. I'll take Tyler Eifert over both those games.
Yeah, forgetting the whole Ebron versus Henry thing, though, just to have a donut is not good.
Scott, let me ask you a question. Yeah. What did Austin Hooper do this week? Did he put like 20 points?
Oh, he was awesome.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Why? I don't understand where you're going with this.
Because he was my breakout tight end this year.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we gave you all the credit for that.
We gave you all the credit for that.
He got a donut.
Look.
He got the donut. But what did Ebron do, who was pretty much everybody's consensus?
Matt, we've already compiled the old Modica team for this week.
Oh, I'm very happy. You can look at my teams. I'm pretty much in the first place in every league.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the Super
Bowl. It's great. But, you know, Henry by himself, though, you know, donut. Not good, and you
was
know,
I,
with the.
Was I saying he was a must start this week?
I'm not even directing this at you about Hunter Henry. I'm just saying, you know, I was not in on Hunter Henry during the preseason, and with Keenan Allen being back and healthy and in the slot, that's an issue too.
And the league that I did own Eric Ebron in, I started Kobe Fleener over.
And that was a good play. That was a good idea. But Matt, all of us at this table, we have guys that we have to own, right? And what's going to end up happening is when those players do good, nobody's going to mention it. When they do bad,
and
everybody at the table is going to mention it. You're going to have to eat Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry, and you got to eat Ebron.
I'll eat Ebron.
I'm here. You got to eat Ebron, though.
You guys are making me.
You beat me by 2.1 points on Ebron versus Henry.
Corey would like to eat Eric Ebron.
Hunter Henry will still have more touchdowns than Eric Ebron this year.
I can't wait.
It doesn't concern you that. That he was outsnapped by Antonio Gates
by a 70-year-old,
15 snaps, and then the majority of his 23 snaps he blocked. Like that is that like, forget week one. I don't care. Eric Ebron had 2 points. Tyler Eifert had less than one. I don't care about that. I don't care what happened week one. I need to look to the future. I need to look to know if Hunter Henry is going to be somebody I can count on going forward. Because I drafted Hunter Henry as my starting tight end. Now I didn't start him this week because I didn't like the matchup. And I started Evan Engram without Odell Beckham. He had 4 for 44. Not terrible in PPR. But Hunter Henry is supposed to be my guy going forward. I want to know if this is he had a bad game, fine. It was the Broncos, fine. Or if with Keenan Allen back in the slot, back in his spot, and Antonio Gates back healthy, I want to know if I can count on Hunter Henry, or this is something that, this is not going to be a thing.
I'm not going to write off Hunter Henry at all after 1 week. I'm going to look at and see what the top tight ends did this week. And they pretty much all had horrible, horrible weeks. It was not a good week
Certainly. For
any of the tight ends. Jordan Reed, Gronk, Kelsey. You know, none of these guys really lived up to
Graham.
So for after 1 week, you know, tough division. It didn't work out for Hunter Henry. I still think he's one of the most talented receiving options they do have on that team.
Listen, we had the best tight end this week was Austin Hooper, followed by Jesse James, Jason Witten, Kobe Fleener, Charles Clay.
You see, and that's the thing about it, is these tight ends, they're going to be all up and down, you know what I'm saying, the rankings all week. So I'm not really tripping off it. That's why I would like a reliable option week in, week out, like what I think Eric Ebron is going to be. That's the way I feel about it. I think he'll have more weeks as a tight end one than not. If you think Jesse James is going to be a tight end one every week, please get in my league. Or please play daily fantasy with me.
At rotoexperts.com/DKMS.
There you go. Right there.
Yeah. But, and it's free. Play against a fantasy executive.
And lose.
Beat him like I did this week. But anyway, you know, I don't think Henry is going to be involved enough in the regular flow of the offense to depend on him. But then again, you are talking the tight end position where you say you want to get somebody reliable. It's very, very difficult because even the best guys aren't reliable because of health reasons. So, you know, this is not a position where you can look for necessarily dependability. You might want to look for reliability. Maybe it's more compared to the rest of the position, but nobody seems to be dependable.
Is the best option at tight end to go in there and just, you know what, stream them? Stream them according to matchup?
So I've done that before. I've done it year after year the last couple of years. It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
And that's why I don't want to really do it myself. That's not really why it's something that I practice, streaming tight ends. I especially wanted to get one this season right here. I wanted to have me a tight end that I can depend on. And I think that I still think that Eric Ebron is going to end up being that guy when he's healthy. But you look at this week, Jesse James, Austin Hooper, Jason Witten. And then you get Zach Ertz. That's like the only one that people were talking about. Flina people hate. Clay people hate. Walker was going undervalued. Rudolph was being drafted. Jared Cook, good luck with that one. Demetrius Harris, you feel what I'm saying? Then you get Kelsey and then Tony's boy for Dierkiewicz.
Run Rudolph.
And then Evan.
Yes.
Didn't we kind of talk you into Rudolph, like you said, buddy?
I was talked into Rudolph by the end of the thing.
There's nothing wrong with Kyle Rudolph at all.
Scored again last night. Skied for a touchdown.
What?
I'm not a fan. Is that okay?
No.
I'm not a fan of Kyle Rudolph.
Why?
Because
he let you down so many times.
He let me down too many times. And then all of a sudden now he want to start being good? Forget about it.
He was good last year.
Coming from the guy that vowed never to draft Duke Johnson again, and he did. And he got burned again.
Yeah, I'm not writing Duke Johnson off.
In week one.
You're still on Duke Johnson then. You came in here Monday morning.
I don't want to
Craig, this is because of you.
And it is your fault.
That's my fault.
I'll take the over on 50 receptions for Duke Johnson.
Can you guess what game they're going to be in? Like, what game is he going to have the 7-catch game?
I don't know. I just need him to catch, you know, 5 and get like 50 yards. Look, I'm not banking on Duke Johnson scoring 20 points in any week. I want double-digit points when he's in there.
But he had 4 this week, and I worry about putting him on my bench and he have 13 next week. That's the problem with Duke.
And you get into the problem sometimes with some of these pass receiving backs like that. Like that'll happen a lot with Shane Vereen too. We've seen that as well. But you know, when are you going to use Duke Johnson really though? You're going to use him as a bye week guy or if you're desperate for injuries.
I started him this week.
I mean he's a flex option too. I mean
this was a bye week though, Corey. This was a bye week.
Scott, it was a bye week.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I didn't think about it that way. I don't own Jay Ajayi nowhere, but it was a bye week.
Joan Jaquizz Rodgers? Is that what it was?
Huh?
Joan Jaquizz Rodgers?
And as my man, the spitting statistician, calls him, yes, I do have a couple shares of Pop Quiz, Jock Quiz.
Pop Quiz? I like that.
It's a lot.
It's tiny. Yeah. That's a lot.
Don't make me laugh.
Dalvin Cook's debut last night went very, very well.
You're welcome.
Okay, and speaking of Dalvin Cook, yes, as Corey mentioned, his theme from week one was running back.
Yep.
And that's kind of why I wasn't paying up, unless I had the first or second pick, on a running back in the first round where I was told you have to have that bell cow.
Sure.
You have to have that bell cow. Which up until that final week, Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, Mixon, who I still believe is going to
Fournette.
Pop, Fournette. You had all these guys, even Isaiah Crowell, Carlos Hyde. To me, there were plenty of RB1 options that you didn't have to go all in the first round. So I never bought into that narrative. And I'd rather have the Julio Jones, the Odell Beckhams, the A.J. Greens, and so on and then get my running back there.
And seemingly that's fair. There are plenty of ways to skin the cat, because you could also draft LeSean McCoy, who's going to get the ball every single time the Bills are on the field, and then you could draft a wide receiver a little bit later. You could have Randall Cobb, you know, off the nice start.
I'm still actively trying to trade him to Jake Seale. Jake Seale loved him. He was his number four guy.
And certainly he did nothing in week one to discourage that.
Not at all.
Of course, we were discouraged in week one by the injury to David Johnson, who is lost for a significant period of time with what they're calling, I believe, is dislocated wrist.
It's got to hurt.
Head coach Bruce Arians has said, listen, this is the same injury TJ Logan has. TJ Logan's out for like 12 weeks. Brutal injury for David Johnson. We need to talk about how to replace him. And that's, of course, on the waiver wire. At least my fab runs overnight tonight. A lot of people's other one at some point tomorrow. So when we come back, let's talk about how we are going to break down that fab. How much we're going to spend on some of the top guys. Who are the top guys? We're going to break them all down. It's the running backs. They come your way next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Yeah.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, and it looks like Corey, Scott, and Matt, I want to replace David Johnson, but I want to know how. I've been told by everybody that Kerwin Williams is okay. That's the reaction you get when you have Kerwin Williams.
I'm sorry.
I'm struggling.
Struggling this morning.
That's the reaction you get with Kerwin Williams right there.
A lot of people are struggling this morning with this David Johnson issue.
So, with that being said, if you don't like Kerwin Williams, and we're going to talk about where he falls in a moment, where else do we go, Scott? What do we do?
I think you got to rank them in your head, you know, and on your sheet, whatever. And, of course, you go to rotoexperts.com this morning. You have both Joe Galina and Jake Seale talking about waivers. I think basically what you have to do, whether you use FAB or you have a regular waiver one, is, you know, you want to have contingent bids. And I would probably start out with Buck Allen, because you'll probably get something involved in the passing game, especially with Woodhead out. And they can't rely on Terrence West to carry the full load, I don't believe. I don't think he's talented enough to do that. Then I would go with Tariq Cohen probably next. Tariq Cohen's never going to be a guy ultimately where if Jordan Howard's going to get injured, that he's going to be able to carry a full load. But he can make the most of every carry. This guy reminds me of a young Darren Sproles in a lot of ways, and a lot of other people as well. I think you put him second, and then I would probably put Kerwin Williams third out of that list.
Okay, so let's start right there with the running backs here. You said you'd rather have Buck Allen than Tariq Cohen, Scott. I've been listening to several
good
reasons.
Why is that?
Well, he just said it. He listed several good reasons why.
Because I understand, but what I'm trying to see, what, is that PPR and standard?
I would say so, even more so in standard. I just feel like he's going to get more regular reps. I like Cohen. I just feel like he's more situational and make the most of every touch when he gets in those situations. I feel like there's going to be more volume for Buck Allen.
Yeah,
but if anybody wants to rank Cohen ahead, I'm not vehemently against it either.
I'll agree with you in non-PPR, which is what standard is now. In non-PPR, I would go Buck Allen. But in the PPR, I'm going to just take the shot on that upside with Cohen. And like Scott correctly said, he is not, even if Jordan Howard gets injured this week, he's not a guy that's going to touch the ball 30 times or 25 times in a game.
Correct. And absolutely. And that's why I've said, listen, Jordan Howard's job's not going anywhere, because they're going to split time no matter what they do. All right. Both guys are out there in several leagues. Tariq Cohen, obviously, and Buck Allen. They're neck and neck, 1-2 for everybody. Everybody has him over Kerwin Williams, it sounds like. Okay?
Yeah.
how much of the budget do you spend this week? I get it. You're going to tell me it depends on your situation. It depends on whether you need a running back. It depends on if you lost David Johnson. I got all that. But we're in a vacuum here. I'm trying to help the people right now. They want to know, like me, I'm in a league where my running backs are Jordan Howard and Carlos Hyde. Those are my starting running backs. I got nothing else. That is it. That is my team. How much do I spend on these guys?
Well, you already got two starting running backs.
Yep.
So,
but that's it. And no depth.
Yeah, but you have no depth. So yeah, I actually have a team like that. So let's say your budget is $100. And
sure.
A lot of times it'll be $100 or $1,000.
Yep, same concept.
I would probably say Buck Allen. If I wanted to just get him for depth, I'd probably spend about a good 40% of my budget. Tariq Cohen, I'd probably maybe a little bit less than that, maybe about 36. And then Kerwin Williams. You know, maybe about, say, 25, 27, pretty much on feel. And, you know, we also have to remember, too, that there are a lot of people that don't play with FAB, which for some of you newcomers is for free agent acquisition budget. Not everybody does play with FAB. It depends on where you are in the waiver order and how desperate you are. You know, always have those contingent bids. But if you're somehow, like, and a lot of times people, the commissioners will beg have the waiver order reversed based on draft order. If you're 10th and you're desperate, do not hesitate about thinking make a trade up in the waiver order to get a running back you really need.
Here's an important factor to consider. It's week one just ended, right? So everybody looks back to last year where the running backs were incredibly healthy. It was an unusual thing. And you go back to 2015 where, you know, maybe they were injured a little too much. But there's going to be a ton of injuries with running backs.
Sure.
So the question you got to ask yourself is, do I blow it early and get the Tariq Cohen kid? Allen should have a nice role going forward because Wood should be out for a significant time because he had the hamstring injury. I don't know what the time frame is yet that has not been released, but I got to assume if he had this hamstring injury, hurt it again immediately. I mean, the guy was calling it. So I would, for me, it's anywhere at least 33%. I'm going to gamble on either Cohen or Allen.
Not both?
I mean, I got to think I drafted some depth, too. I don't understand where you don't have it. You don't have, like, a Darren Sproles, a Shane Vereen, a James White, or somebody like that on your roster. Then you did a piss-poor job drafting.
And then there's the other thing, too. It's, you're going to, and people are always going to go to the free agent list when they have an emergency situation. You know, you could certainly make a trade, you know, and not even have to worry about this. You know, and maybe be picking up one of these guys for depth. And as Matt said in the last hour, you don't have to trade for Le'Veon Bell. You don't have to trade for Ezekiel Elliott. You know, get somebody serviceable.
I think the two names I gave last hour in Theo Riddick and James White are guys I would be targeting.
What about in a standard, though? Who would you target?
In a standard, let me think about that for a second. I'm so focused on the people.
Like a Jonathan Stewart, maybe.
Stewart's a good option. Yeah, I like that one.
Those are good points by both of you guys here.
You think James White, after 1 week, you think that the situation in New England is secure enough where you would pick up James White?
I drafted James White pretty much everywhere. Chris Vaccaro kind of felt the same way I felt about James White entering the season. And the injury to Edelman, the injury to Amendola, only increases my love for James White.
I understand your doubt on James White, Corey, because, and you'll hear this from Jake Seeley, too, about how you just can't draft, how you can't trust New England running backs, Greg, but with James White, not only was he involved in the passing game, they were giving him runs, interior runs,
10 carries
and off-tackle runs.
He's
involved in the running game, too. So that's a caveat there and an extra, you know, little ribbon, if you will, on James White if you like him.
Just to put this, if he does see any more increased carries, last season, three running backs. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, James White, 60 receptions or more and 500 yards receiving as a running back. So he's in some pretty damn good company. He's not the marquee name, but the Patriots are going to score a lot of points this year.
All right, so you're both putting, it sounds like, Scotty, you're putting in the 30s on both Tariq Cohen and Buck Allen. Matt, you said you put around 33% on both of them. Really, you only want one. But
if I lost Johnson, I'm going to go like 50% or a little more.
If you have, if you're looking for depth, you'll do 33% on one of these guys.
Based on that it's week one and I can have them for, you know, rest of the season.
Absolutely, and that's what I was like.
I'm more, I'm a little more aggressive. I mean, Corey was saying 85%, so maybe, you know, maybe you go even higher.
Well, I've always said, I said this yesterday afternoon, was that I want to be aggressive early because I'm going to have a guy for 15 weeks. Now, the problem with both Tariq Cohen and Buck Allen is that the running backs that they are in the backfield with are both still there, right? Jordan Howard obviously still has a role. Terrence West obviously still has a role. Neither Tariq Cohen or Buck Allen are the goal line backs. You're not guaranteeing yourself touchdowns. The one guarantee for touchdowns you are is probably Kerwin Williams, oddly enough.
How many are they going to score, though?
They might score 13. No. Listen, it's amazing because it was literally 4 days ago. Everybody thought the Arizona Cardinals were going to bounce back in a major way.
Who?
Matt Modica.
Not me.
Wait, time out. Last season, were horrible the first month.
Absolutely.
You know, he played a hell of a lot better.
Carson Palmer did.
Matt, he's older now.
Okay.
He's older now. He looked washed up, like how I feel this morning.
He looked washed up the first month of last season. And I believe the second half of last year, he outproduced Stafford and Rivers. So I'm just saying it's week one.
I understand. Totally, you don't want to overreact.
He's
not going to get better as he gets older.
You don't think he's going to have a good week versus the Colts?
If he doesn't, then we have to have a serious conversation about...
Todd Gurley he got saved this week. He really didn't have it. So it's possible.
No.
If he doesn't have a good week against the Colts...
Carson Palmer is a late number two.
Yeah.
That's what he's always been.
But, Matt, this week, people were putting him in their lineup. They didn't have Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I mean,
so people were putting him in their lineup, and he was a major disappointment.
And people were putting Andy Dalton, saying he was...
This is true, too.
He was going to be great. Eli Manning could be this year's Matt Ryan. They both sucked. They really did.
No, you're right. Sam Bradford was the guy that hit off the bench. And Kaiser was the guy that hit off the bench
this week.
Okay, this is true too.
So,
but Andy Dalton is still in the prime of his career. Carson Palmer is way past that.
But is anybody saying that you should be riding your season with Carson Palmer as your number one?
No, but when bye weeks come up, in a couple weeks,
to wait on quarterbacks and Andy Dalton or Eli Manning could be your number one.
But Matt, if you talk about the wait on quarterback thing and you use that as an excuse, the quarterbacks that went up early, they were nowhere to be found this week.
I'm using it, okay, but for the rest of the season. People were saying, wait on quarterback. You can go with Andy Dalton. You can go with Eli. If you have either
horrible.
Of those two, you're in panic mode. Carson Palmer, I don't think anybody had it as their one.
If they had him,
he was their backup that they put in.
They put him for Jameis Winston.
This isn't the quarterback conversation.
Sorry.
This is trying to help you if you want to draft Kerwin Williams. My point is the Arizona Cardinals are going to score touchdowns, and Kerwin Williams is going to score them.
See, that's what I disagree with.
What, are they not going to score this year?
They might score 27 touchdowns all season long.
Get out of here.
They suck. They suck.
You're underrating them now after one bad game. They're going to score.
I'm underrating them?
They may score 27 touchdowns this week.
Did you see how they looked? They looked horrible.
They may score 27 touchdowns this week against Indianapolis.
They're not going to score 27.
Probably
the Rams put up 46.
If Palmer doesn't perform this week, then I'm all about putting Drew Stanton in, and I don't think that's going to happen.
It won't be Drew Stanton. It'll be Blaine Gabbert, by the way. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I want to talk about some of the wide receivers pick up if you lost Allen Robinson. Major wide receiver loss there. Wide receiver pickups coming up next on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. We're here on the Road to Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And unbelievably so, with all the David Johnson news, it's almost gotten lost that Allen Robinson tore his ACL. on Sunday. And I get that Allen Robinson wasn't the number one overall pick, and I get he wasn't a first or a second round wide receiver anymore. But Allen Robinson was somebody that a lot of people thought was going to bounce back here. He was bounced back in a major way and potentially make himself a lot of cash in the process. But Allen Robinson is gone. What do we do to replace him? Well, much like David Johnson when it comes to Kerwin Williams or Andre Ellington or something along those lines, I get to Jacksonville first, Scott, and I look to Allen Hurns and I look to Marquise Lee. Both of these guys could be available on waiver wires, and if they are, my question, of course, is how much to spend. Before you answer, let me set the stage just a little bit. Marquise Lee was the more talented guy coming out of college, right? Second round pick, had a prolific career at USC. Allen Hurns out of the U exploded on the scene a little bit earlier, made a nice second contract to being, I believe, a seventh round pick or an undrafted guy, and he, you know, evolved earlier when Lee went through some injuries. Now Lee is here, but this is an offense that doesn't really, after 1 week, doesn't pass the ball all that much, right? They don't want Blake Bortles to win or lose in games. They're going to rely on the running game. So my initial instinct, yeah, take the more talented guy, go after Marquise Lee. But in this offense where they may be more conservative, they might go with the underneath the slot stuff, which I think would be Allen Hurns. So with all of that now on the table, what would you do with Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns?
Look at the way the Jaguars are built. A lot of front offices and organizations believe that defense and a power running game, if you put that into place, that everything else will fall into place. And that's what they're trying to do in Jacksonville. Now, opposing defenders are probably going to say, okay, let's load up against Fournette, and we'll try to make Blake Bortles beat us. Now, he has two different receivers to try and do that with when he's not throwing an interception. Marquise Lee, I believe, will be the chain mover, and I think Allen Hurns is the guy that maybe we've already seen 2 years ago that can score touchdowns. So I feel like definitely in a PPR, Marquise Lee is the guy you got to target. He's going to be more of the possession guy. I'm not saying Allen Hurns won't be able to make his catches, but I think he's more of the touchdown scorer. I think I would want Hurns more in a standard and Lee in a PPR.
Interesting. Matt, what about you?
I want Marquise Lee out of the two. See, the thing here is if you draft and you draft a complete team and you get some depth, if you drafted like Corey Davis, that's a guy you can insert in. I mean, I thought maybe it'd take a couple more weeks, but I think he's kind of showing us that he's ready. It's still a risky proposition, but not for nothing. Allen Robinson was no guarantee, and he was you were buying the bounce back from based on his talent. As far as his teammates go, it's Lee for me, then Hearn second.
Okay,
If I get one of those guys, great.
How much money, Corey, would you spend on these guys?
First of all, let me say I would go because we expected to be a lack of passes in the air mm-hmm. from Blake Bortles. Give me the upside of Allen Hurns more so than the PPR magic of Marquise Lee. So the way I would play it, the way I would go, I would put the higher bid on Hurns because you're going to be able to get Hurns because everybody's going to be on Lee. I think if you go in that 8 to 11% range, you can get Lee. I think you can go into that 4 to 7% range to get Allen Hurns.
If you're the Kenny Golladay owner,
yep.
Do you come over to the Allen Robinson guy and say, hey,
if I'm a trade,
you need like a running back
yeah.
or something?
If I'm
like,
a trade guy, yeah, I do that if I'm a trade guy.
Well, Kenny Golladay himself is only owned in 10% of ESPN leagues. How much money would you spend on Kenny Golladay?
I mean, I thought it would take him some time before he got more involved into this system, and especially with the Cardinals' secondary. I still think the Cardinals' defense is going to be much better. I think Carson Palmer put them in the hole all day.
Oh, really?
Carson Palmer as like this number one guy. I'm really baffled by it. So, Sam Bradford's like the greatest quarterback ever.
He came out.
There really was nobody more higher than the Vikings than me. I'm like the purple Jesus.
He came out the gate smoking.
But. I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about here?
Okay, I asked how much money you spend.
Golladay was somebody just on his size. Everything that came out of camp, you got Golden Tate singing his praises too. All this kid did, they need that red zone target. And I mean, what am I going to bid on him? If I lost Allen Robinson, I'll probably do somewhere in maybe 18-20%, something like that. 22% high.
You talk about, which is perfect. They need that big red zone target, but You know, he made a great downfield catch, in the opener. Mm-hmm. What they've been missing since Calvin Johnson has retired, not only that, just the big receiver, period. You know, this team is built, the Lions are built on passing efficiency. Well, what they want to do is they want to get it to Golden Tate and let him operate after the catch because he's one of the best in the league at that. But you have to have the right compliment about it. I'm not a fan of Marvin Jones. So I believe that, they found it. I think they found the right compliment, even though he's a number three receiver, especially when they go to passing downs. This is somebody that Matthew Stafford is going to throw the ball up, and he's going to play go up and get it, use that wide wingspan, use that catch radius. You know, Galladay is a thing.
How much money?
I would probably say if I lost Allen Robinson, the only thing with Galladay is he's still a rookie. There's going to be some down weeks, but if I do need to replace him, I would probably say for Galladay out of a $100 budget, I'm willing to spend about $27.
All right, so kind of close to Matt. Matt's at 22. You said 27. Corey, what if you didn't lose Allen Robinson?
If you didn't lose Allen Robinson? Mm-hmm. And it depends on what your situation at wide receiver is.
Well, listen, you're trying to just load up, right? You're trying to load up on the bench, you replace some guys that didn't bench, perform.
But you want some depth. Like I said, my waiver is more specific to what I need because I don't want to sift through a lot of that trash that's out there. So I'm always gonna be more aggressive. So if I'm the what's the dude, Allen Robinson owner, I'm going 35, right? Okay. Especially if it's Galladay. If I'm not the Galladay owner, I'm gonna stay in that 22 to 27 type range in that area. The reason why I'm a little bit wider is because I have to run waivers, and people in these leagues are listening.
And just to break stride for a second, if you're playing DFS, I'm going to be looking at those cornerback matchups a lot against Galladay because when he plays against smaller corners, especially in the slot, there's a size advantage for him, and he has speed and quickness. So I'm going to be looking at that. So, rotoexperts.com/DKMS, when you play DFS, I'm going to be looking for Kenny Galladay and what the cornerback matchups are.
Listen, when Kenny Galladay is 10% owned, Cooper Kupp is only 16.6% owned in ESPN.com leagues right now. Corey, if Cooper Kupp is out there, how much money are you going to spend on
him? You probably have to go 45 to 55 for Cooper Kupp if he's out there. You got to pop half the load on that one. You feel what I'm saying? Because we're going the optimism on Goff. He looks good after week one. You know what I'm saying? Talking in the red zone, up and coming young wide receiver, up and coming young offense. It's a lot to like. I'm going 45 to 55 if Kupp is on the waiver wire. But Kupp should not be on your waiver wire unless you're in a 10-team league.
16.6% of leagues in ESPN.
In 12-team leagues.
ESPN leagues.
That's 10-team leagues, though.
It's probably both. It's a mixture.
Yeah, but they are more tailed. That's their bread and butter. Are 10-team now PPR, and NFL.com would be like 10-team.
No, I get it. That's standard league. I'm just saying, in all leagues, I'm in a 12-team league on ESPN. It's a GST league. That is included in that, is all I'm saying.
The thing with Kupp, too, it's not only when they're competitive and Kupp is playing well. There's going to be games where the Rams are going to get blown out and they're going to play catch-up, and Kupp is going to get his numbers there, too.
No question. How much money, Scotty?
$100 out of 100. No, I'm kidding. I would probably say if you're wide receiver needy, I would probably go about $43.
$43. Okay.
I would definitely go over half my budget. And this is a disclaimer. What I'm tailoring these bid prices at, I'm trying to tailor it to the normal everyday player 12-team leagues, not the NFFC, if that helps.
Moving on to some other wide receivers that could be out there and that are not going to cost you nearly as much. I mentioned Paul Richardson earlier in the show. Scott, you said you like Paul Richardson more than you like Tyler Lockett, but how imperative is it that you pick up Paul Richardson this week?
I think it's good for depth, as long as he stays healthy. But the way that he's built, we've seen it already twice in his career. He's been injured in a short career. When he's in there, though, he's a downfield threat. And, when they got time to throw, and it depends on who the opponent is. But even last week, he was able to make a really nice 28-yard catch. If you need some depth, I could see spending about maybe $15 out of $14 out of 100 to grab a Paul Richardson because it's not going to make or break you.
I mean, I do like Richardson. I like Lockett too, but to me, it's that number two wide receiver in Seattle. So I'm not going above 10%.
Yeah, I'm not going above 7% on Paul Richardson. I'm not really getting involved that like it's true, they have no balance on offense, but still, they got to get the Jimmy Graham thing figured out. I mean, he's been in over there for 4 years now, like 3 years.
Graham, though, he hurt himself this week, though. He dropped two key passes this week. He hurt himself, too.
Let me continue. There's three other wide receivers I think are interesting. I think both Marcus Wheaton and Kendall Wright are of interest in Chicago. There's no Kevin White there. There's no Cameron Meredith there. I have to think they're going to throw to somebody other than Tariq Cohen.
Tight ends. Miller and Sims.
Zach Miller and
what about Shaheen? You know, kid Adam Shaheen.
Adam Shaheen. He's a big target. He could. He could end up being a red zone guy.
Bellamy. I know you mentioned.
Josh Bellamy. I'm just. You know what? There's a mishmash of mediocrity there. I don't think opportunity necessarily leads to production. I'm probably not messing with it.
Okay. Last wide receiver here on our list today. It's Nelson Agholor. I know nobody likes Nelson Agholor. No one wants to mess with that, but. Got to be honest, he looked good against Washington. If he's out of his own head and can catch the ball, I think Nelson Agholor, you know, is worth picking up.
Talented, but boom or bust. I probably wouldn't spend more than $6 out of 100 on Nelson Agholor, if that much.
Yeah, I got trust issues. You know, maybe like that 7%. If I was truly desperate and wanted to drop a Hail Mary, 10% at the most.
I put $2 on him.
Okay, fair enough. That's all. We'll come back and wrap up the program and find out what's next, the Fantasy Football Frenzy, right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Cause the place to do it is at rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Now, DKMS is an organization that's trying to help blood cancer and legitimately save lives. And what they're trying to do is to find and to try to recruit you to register to become a bone marrow donor. And listen, if you want to just know more information about it, I strongly suggest and urge you to go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to donate anything. Just read about it and see if it's of interest to you. And they're constantly looking for donors. They're looking to actually save lives. And it's a really, really good cause. So I strongly recommend just going to rotoexperts.com/DKMS and checking it out. So that's for them. What does it do for you? We're a me society. We always want to help ourselves. Well, we here at Roto Experts are trying to give you tickets to the Super Bowl. How do you get tickets to the Super Bowl? Very easy. You do not have to pay a single cent. All you have to do is participate in a free, completely and utterly free, $0 fantasy draft DFS game. It's at fantasydraft.com. It's for DFS. And what you do, go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, scroll all the way down, click the link that'll bring you into our live lobby. And you get into a weekly DFS game. If you are a winner of any of the games, the contest between weeks 1 and week 16, you get to week 17. That is our championship game. In week 17, you win that in DFS. You are going to Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. This week's winning lineup included these players.
And this is for Miguel A3. 214.74 points. Congratulations to him. Matt Ryan, 20.94. Todd Gurley, 20.60. Dalvin Cook, 19.70. Stephon Diggs, obviously listens to Matt Modica with 27.70. Antonio Brown, 32.70. Austin Hooper, 23.80. David Johnson, 14.10. Adam Thielen, 27.70. He ran the Viking stack in rotoexperts.com/DKMS. And the Jaguars defense with 28 points.
There you go. You had to have the Jaguars and the Rams defense in there. I know it'd win. A lot of Minnesota Vikings there. So good job by Miguel. And you can be just like Miguel. You can qualify for a chance to go to the Super Bowl for free using a fantasy draft free roll. rotoexperts.com/DKMS.
It's absolutely no catch to play. It's free, and it's for a great cause.
All right, so we never wire tight ends before we end the program here today. I'd say the top waiver wire tight end ad this week is probably Charles Clay. And I think we kind of knew that going into the season. He's owned in just 7% of leagues right now. And Charles Clay, in leagues where you may have drafted Hunter Henry as your starter, you may have drafted Eric Ebron as your starter, going back to the conversation. Charles Clay seems to be the number one option in the passing game for Buffalo. No?
I think it might be Austin Hooper.
Austin Hooper was owned in a lot of leagues.
He is.
That's why I didn't say that when I looked it up yesterday.
Okay, then I do like... Listen, you're going to get Charles Clay for a week. Charles Clay is not going to play a full complement of games. He's going to get hurt.
But before he does,
you put him in there this week. I like the Bears combination better, whether you like Miller, whether you like Sims.
Austin Hooper's owned in over 50% of leagues. That's why.
I like Miller and I like Sims better. Then I like Clay because I think you have a better chance, especially with him.
The three tight ends might be better than the wide receivers.
I think so.
Yeah. Not necessarily wrong. Yeah, Zach Miller, Deion Sims. Other tight ends, Shaheed. Jesse James, 6% owned. I know it's almost like a Bigfoot type thing.
That.
He comes and he goes. You can't count on them. That's 6%. And then Evan Ingram is currently owned in 19% of fantasy leagues. If Odell Beckham doesn't play again on this Sunday, which I don't think he does, just because Dr. A said week three from the beginning, and I feel like... You already said about week one. Maybe you said about week two again. Evan Ingram at 19%. That could be okay as well.
Could be. You know, you see a lot of Red Ellison in there, though.
Well, we knew that. Red Ellison was going to play 6% of snaps. We knew that.
Ingram was a disappointment. You know, that Giants offense going to continue to struggle.
He was not a disappointment. He finished as a top 15 tight end this week.
I was expecting better. Maybe disappointment ain't the word, but I was expecting a little better.
The Giants offense sucked!
Yeah, I'm saying it could again this week, too.
Just keep Seth Devolve on your watch list. That's what I'll say.
There you go. That's going to do it for us here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Coming up next, the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson, Matt Modica, and JC. For Wall Street, the King, and the Fantasy Executive, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Bye-bye.